to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Oh, it's a big day. It's a big day.
Win the big days.
Come on!
Dude, it's life, man.
It's life.
You start your day doing one thing, and by the end of the day, you've done 17 other things.
Oh, you never know. You never know. I mean, that's why...
Mother Nature, man.
Well, that's why, and it's like, it's the most boring response that anyone can give you about anything, yet it is true 100% of the time. Greg Cosell eventually gave it to you when you boxed him into a corner yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
With a toughie. You gave him a toughie. You asked him who of the 49ers receivers is best at beating the press man.
It's a cupcake, Cosell.
And he was like pulling his collar away from his neck. He was so uncomfortable.
You know, I've seen Ayuk, you know, win off the ball numerous times because he's got some quickness and some lateral quickness to him. Debo is more physical, and Jennings is more physical. So they're different players. I mean, I can remember in the Super Bowl where Snead matched up to Samuel in some critical situations, and he did a really good job against him in press. So, you know, press sometimes can be hard. We'll see. But they're going to get it. The question now, that is one of the critical pieces in this game.
Okay, so with about 9 seconds to go in that bite is when you hear the most boring response that you can give anyone about any question, but it is true 100% of the time. It's two words. We'll see.
Yep.
Now, what do you think's going to happen in the game this weekend, Dibs?
We'll see.
Oh, the great answer.
Well, I can tell you what I think, and I can tell you what I know that I've seen, and I can tell you what the trends tell me, and I could EPA you and DVOA you into a submission, but ultimately, when you have a play that is designed by Kyle Shanahan expertly, and you have a receiver who double moves you and is wide open, and the throw is on time, and the receiver puts his hands up, and he drops it. And this is not to pick on Ronnie Bell, but that play is a perfect example of what we're talking about. Kyle calls a play
right
for Ronnie Bell. Ronnie runs the route perfectly. Brock throws a ball that's a 99 out of 100, and Ronnie goes up, and it's... Oh! And, you know, we could talk about the Super Bowl, and... You know, Spencer Burford, who went the wrong way,
sure,
and Ayuk is wide open. Whatever you want to say, and fourth and two, and Mahomes runs a read option, not a zone read, read option, Greg, and Bosa crashes down, which he's supposed to do, by the way, and there's no fill behind him, and they get a first down. And we can look at any of these plays in any of these games, and that's where these... games are often won and lost on a razor-thin margin.
Nobody wants any more of those, though. That's what I've noticed from 49er fans this week. Those can all be true. Nobody wants any more ifs. Nobody wants any more, well, if they had not gotten held, and if Spencer Burford hadn't gone the wrong way, and if Ronnie Bell catches the ball, and if Jimmy Garoppolo sees George Kittle down the seam, like... We could do this every single week. If they just make that one play, this is the week where the 49ers have to make that play. They got to make that play. I think it's incredibly damaging to the entire season if the Niners lose this game in a fashion that they have lost the games before. If the Niners lose 27-14, I actually think that is less damaging than if they were to somehow put together yet another come-from-ahead loss. And I don't even mean this about the Chiefs. All of the games, the Rams, the Cardinals, the whatevers, with the building of the double-digit lead and then the collapsing, if that were to happen again this weekend, I truly believe it's something that could dog them the rest of the way. They can't have that happen this weekend.
And that is where you and I differ, because that, to me, is where it comes down to coaching and culture and leadership and all the rest of it. Because, yeah, even if this game goes the way that the last couple of games against the Chiefs have gone, where you are so and I borrow from Guru, tantalizingly close. You can taste it, and yet you lose it. And maybe it's another one of these classic Kyle Shanahan 10-point lead games where you just don't close it out, and you lose this one 24-23, and the Chiefs, you know, Mahomes gets the ball back with 58 seconds left and one timeout, and Butker from 57, and you lose again.
Butker.
You know, and I guess the Niners would, no, they wouldn't cover because they're favored, but, you know, pay the Chiefs and the Chiefs money line, but... If it's a game like that, fans, I think, will have PTSD, and the Niners themselves will be a little bit hurt about it. But if that affects you going forward, that's a you problem, Niners.
Well, of course. All problems related to the 49ers are 49er problems. Yeah, absolutely. Like, no one's going to feel sorry for them. Sean Salisbury in less than 10 minutes. Let's go back to the phones. Raul in Pittsburgh. Hey, Raul, thanks for calling.
You're welcome, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate that. I have a different point. I think that the Niners will win. I think there's a player that we haven't talked about a lot. I think that it's a difference. I think is that the new kid, Dominic Clooney.
Yep.
I think he'll make a difference in that line. Yeah, he's very strong. And I believe he was a defensive end at one time. So he understands the process. And I think he'll be a difference against Mr. Jones. I think that that will be where I think we'll win the trenches against him, because I believe I'm not wrong, but that's how time that we lost the Super Bowl. Our weak area was in that area of the right guard, if I'm not wrong, a couple of times.
That's correct.
The Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's the perfect spot. Yeah, Raul, thanks. Yeah. I will say this. They mentioned a couple of times that Chris Jones this weekend will get the quote Aaron Donald treatment, and you sort of wonder, like, well, why hasn't he in the past? Or maybe he has, but you think of recent games when Aaron Donald was at the height of his powers, and I can remember, this is, you remember when Dan Brunskill had never been heard of, and he got thrown in there before a Rams game, and everyone's like, oh my God, Aaron Donald's going to dominate this game. And the Niners completely kept him down. I would argue the last handful of times they played the Rams, Aaron Donald was not that big of a problem. So they have a plan for handling an interior defensive lineman that way. They have not been able to handle Chris Jones at all. He's literally ruined two Super Bowls. And he's playing as well as anyone on defense in the whole league so far this year. So I don't know if they've given the Aaron Donald treatment or if they just haven't felt the need. In previous games against the Chiefs, they need to treat Chris just like Aaron Donald, because they've had success with that in the past.
They have, but if you want to devote two to Chris Jones, and you should, but so you have your guard and your center, and you're going to double him every time, and that's going to leave your other guard to single up, your tackle and your other tackle, Trent Williams, to single up. And so then it comes down to, are you going to have your tight end stay in, George Kittle or Eric Saubert? Are you going to have, you know, Kyle Juszczyk stay in and try to chip a guy who comes in? The problem with interior defensive disruptors is they're going to disrupt you. And if you have two guys on him and he beats those two,
oh, well, then you're up a creek.
You're toast. And that's what these guys do. Aaron Donald and Chris Jones, they don't really, even if you double them, oftentimes, that doesn't stop them, because if you double a guy in the interior, that's usually the center post-snap trying to get up there and double up on a guy and duo block a guy. And if that doesn't work, well, now you're totally toast. Unless you want to go, all right, we're going to keep the fullback in, which I think they'll do a lot of, and you're going to have the tight end can't chip a defensive tackle unless you want to slide everyone over, and then he takes on the defensive end. It's not what the Niners do. So you're going to ask your interior three, where that's the most vulnerable spot in your line anyway, you're going to have to ask them to step up and put on your big boy pants and do the job.
Yep, no question. Matt in San Rafael's next up. Hi, Matt. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. A bunch of stuff to say, so I'll try to go quick. One is, I think Pearsall is actually going to be a factor in this game, because I honestly think he's the receiver on the Niners who is most equipped to be press man coverage. I don't know how much he can play because he's only practiced a couple of days, but I think he's relevant. I don't think Cowling's going to be relevant, and here's my little side note, because he can only catch the ball inside the 10. Now, the players I think are going to be critical in this game. Well, I talked about Jones, as you guys have said before. He is Like, he's the guy that's going to make or break this game defensively for the Chiefs and going to make the Niners either be able to do what they want to or not. So he's important. And I think, sadly, that Campbell or whoever plays that position is going to be critical for the Niners because I think the Chiefs are going to go after him. If you have him covering Kelce, we're toast. The problem is Hufanga would have been perfect, drop him into the box, have him play a small linebacker because they are not particularly good at running the ball without Isaiah Pacheco. They could have done that. Do they have a safety who can do that? Do we have D Winners? Can D Winners cover in space? Can he play the scheme? But I think that those two positions, for the offense, Jones, and for the defense, whoever plays that second linebacker or whatever that position is going to be critical because Kelce is going to be the focus of the game because they don't have any other weapons right now. Anyway, I'm going to be there. I'm going to have no voice on Monday, but I'm stoked for the game.
Nice. Call us Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, that's good X and O breakdown. I'm sure, that's what both of these coaches are in the lab doing right now. Andy Reid.
I'm in the lab.
Yeah, Andy Reid all week is trying to figure out, or for 2 weeks now, how are we going to get Travis Kelce lined up against Devondre Campbell? We think we can win that one. And Kyle Shanahan and Nick Sorensen are like, so how do we avoid that? Let's avoid that. And sure, there's no Hufanga, but I think Mustafa does do a lot of the same things well that Hufanga does. That one to me is going to be a matter of discipline. And this is why I worry about a couple of young players in the secondary for the 49ers, is you're going to have to stay very, very disciplined and not look at the shiny objects and end up going the wrong way. And that's what the likes of Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan are so good at doing. Let's get into this, not just the X and O breakdown, but the emotional side of this matchup with absolutely one of our favorites who's great at breaking it down. He's going to join us next. That's Sean Salisbury. Then we're going to get back to your phone calls at 888-957-9570. We'll let you hear everything that Kyle Shanahan had to say today. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water, Withered and Dibs.
Will and Divvy
on 95.7 The Game.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
There ain't nothing better than this. I've been waiting all week for today just because I knew. You can feel it from the fans. Everybody's been focused on it all week, but today is kind of that you're like walking around or you're doing work or whatever it is you got today, but you can feel it. You're like, as soon as we get done with whatever we're doing today, boom. Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Two more sleeps.
And we know exactly what this weekend is all about.
Man.
The Super Bowl rematch. Let's go. Let's go. So, when we say let's go out to the River Islands guest line because one of our absolute favorites, kind enough to join us today, we feel there is an analyst like no other, and that is Sean Salisbury, who's joining us now on Withered and Dibs. Hey, Sean, what's good?
Hey guys, all good, and it's a pleasure to be on with you. You know, I love joining you, so thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, thank you for doing it. We're excited about this one. Thousands of questions. Let me ask you this, though. When you look at the Kansas City Chiefs now, how would you describe the evolution of a team that used to kind of be about Patrick Mahomes, and right now, Sean, honestly looks like it's more about their defense?
It is. And even think about this last year, guys. Mahomes is always Mahomes making plays, but you tell me who carried them most of the year last year. Defense. Steve Spagnuolo right now is NFL's best, and I don't mean just pressure blitz-wise. He's the best, like, under-pressure defensive coordinator. He loves big games, and this is another one for him. You should expect him to thrive. But it really has been about a year and a half that the Chiefs' defense has been, I don't say the only reason, because when Mahomes and Kelce and Andy Reid are on the team, you'll find ways to put the ball in the end zone or win games. But isn't it amazing? This team, you lose a fast receiver, somebody else comes in. You lose a running back, you go get Kareem Hunt. You lose somebody. I mean, there's nobody better at restocking. And even if the restock is not an A, it's a B or a B minus, Andy Reid elevates them. But just when you need somebody to step up and play dominant, the defense has been really good. Their front seven's fierce. They can cover on the back end. They'll press you. And Spagnuolo is the best at finding that little gap and says, here's how we attack this weakness. And, man, they got a lot of buy-in. It really is. You look at them, guys, do they look like a dominant team? Statistically, they don't. I'm talking about it overall.
Yep.
Yet every time If it's late and they got a chance, the field goal kicker is going to make it. Mahomes is going to get you a few plays off schedule and then make that one comeback throw first down. Andy's going to give you something in the red zone. And Kelce erupted last week, but in truth, the first three or four games, he hadn't been doing much either. So this team, so cliche, but in truth, it is their defense that carries them, and we're saying that about a team that's got the best tight end in football. I mean, I'll throw Kittling, but the best receiving tight end in football normally, the best quarterback in football, and the best play caller and head coach offensive coordinator combo in the league, and yet it's the defense. If the defense doesn't play well, I'm not sure they scare you anywhere other than quarterback and tight end offensively, which is a tribute to them.
Yeah, and defensively they scare you because the coordinator, and also for Chris Jones. And Mark and I were just talking about, what do you do with a guy who can wreck you in the A-gap? You can double him, but if he beats your double team, what are you left with, Sean?
Yeah, that's such a great point, because we hear it every time. Well, chip. No, we don't chip. Backs don't chip in the interior. You know, you guys did say, here, well, how do we double him? Well, when you do that, and, you know, guys, we've watched Chris Jones beat double teams, too, in this league, right? And that poses a problem. So you double him on every pass play, or when you double him and then the guard gets up to the linebacker in the run game, however you go about it. The crazy thing about it is then it frees up a lot of people to do their thing, so they're going to see a lot of one-on-one in protection. Even his presence, we used to see that with the Rams, guys. And still, when Aaron Donald was playing it and winning MVP, it's like, and J.J. Watt, it's like, we're going to double him. And Aaron Donald, especially inside, Watt moved around, especially inside. You're like, well, that's fine. He still can beat it and push you back into the backfield in the run and pass game and getting your quarterback's vision and his legs in the middle of it. But it just makes everything, your second, third guy, it's like having two phenomenal receivers. Then the third guy catches 90 balls because you can't double them all. And it's much more difficult when you've got a guy who's a run, not only a run, a good run defender, but a run disruptor, but also has the pass of a guy who plays on the edge. So that is such a good point, and not only valid, but something that that is one of the greatest advantages. I don't know how you guys are, but I've always said I build football teams and defenses, and I guess kind of like baseball, you know, up the middle, but inside out. That inside, the dominant guy who can disrupt and rush the passer, a quarterback, a great center, you know, a middle linebacker. I believe you build it inside out, and they've got a guy that everybody else feeds off, and he is a game wrecker to every sense of the word because of his ability to do both. He's a two-dimensional football player, and he plays with an attitude and a motor, so he doesn't take many plays off, and it's hard. So what you do is you double-team him, and you better hope your tackles are at their best, and then they start to do those games outside, loops and stuff outside to try and create confusion to get your good players off their good players, and then all of a sudden you get a free runner with a linebacker. So incumbent that backs are going to have to step up and thump, but it is really, really hard to spend 60 plays, 65 plays a game, doubling the guy, and then hoping everybody can hold up on the outside because you cannot chip on the inside. It does require a 300-pound double, and if you're going to just block him by yourself, well, you better be able to dress in a phone booth because that guy's really good.
Sean Salisbury joining us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Sean, this is just me, the sports fan, talking. I feel like when there's a matchup where one of the teams kind of clearly needs the game more than the other team, they usually get it. That's not to say the Chiefs aren't motivated, but I clearly feel like the 49ers need this game more than the Chiefs, and for that reason, I give them kind of an edge. Have you been in that situation? Is that a thing?
I think it is, and you know what's crazy about it, guys? And I don't mean, it's not like I'm blowing smoke at Kansas City, but Andy Reid sure doesn't feel like the guy to take it for granted, right? And I don't. And here's another thing, and it's a very valid point that you're making, but think about this. We've all watched, it seems like they're on national TV every friggin' minute, right, every week. So we all see most of their games on a national level, as the game of the week, whether it's Sunday in the afternoon this week or Monday or Sunday or Thursday. Have you seen them play a great game yet this year? I'm talking about where it's like you come out of it saying, that's a Super Bowl champion. You haven't. It's been bits and pieces and defense. So when you go through that, and I'm only going to say this about compared to the Texans because I'm around it every day here. They're 5-1, and guys, they've played kind of average at times, been good in parts. They have not played a complete game. And so last week, everybody called it a trap game playing, you know, their game last week. Well, this looks like a trap game in New England. No, they buried them because they realized they haven't played a complete game. So with Kansas City, I don't believe their team feels like that they've been that team, oh my gosh, so explosive, they're going to hang 40 on you. They've kind of had to grind it out like a blue-collar team that doesn't dominate you. They're good at a lot of things, and we know they can do it, but they're not great at a lot of things on offense. Now, you get Xavier Worthy the ball in space, which Andy will create stuff like that and create. He's like a good bat. You guys know this with the great basketball teams you have there. Andy's the guy who gets his guy the ball on the spot where he wants to catch and shoot. He does that with his players on offense so they're comfortable, even though they're not filled, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster coming back after he's gone. Again, I mentioned Kareem Hunt. So I believe that the 49ers, I think the 49ers are going to win the game. I do, because they also, there's got to be a sense of urgency, finally getting at least close to as fully healthy as they can be, even though McCaffrey, and I think Jennings is out as well, but they still have weapons, and they also have struggled to put that full, oh my gosh, game recently. I like the San Francisco 49ers at home, and that has something to do with it. And I don't think the Chiefs are going to come in, oh, we're okay, we can afford to lose, because of the element of who they're playing. They're not playing a team they're supposed to dominate. The 49ers are supposed to be a dominant team in the NFC. So I think that helps them guard against it. But, yes, if you're talking about urgency and putting yourself at a point where you're in a chase mode, that's not the Chiefs, that's the 49ers. And teams that are well-coached and disciplined, they feel like that they understand the sense of urgency. I like a close one, but I actually think defenses are going to win in a lot of these battles this week. I think the 49ers are a field goal favorite, in my mind, at home.
Yeah, and favored by one, Sean Salisbury here on 95.7 The Game. When you talk about closing, why have the Niners been unable to close in these games where they've got, you know, three losses, but two of them, they had big leads in the second half?
Yeah, guys, I don't like that trend, do you? I don't like
no,
the trend.
At all.
And it kind of goes with what you said about, well, you know, the sense of urgency for the 49ers in this game over the Chiefs, yet where has been the 49ers' sense of urgency with leads to put their foot on the throat? Now, guys, we can sit back and say it has to be injuries, and it does matter. Let's face that. You can't take McCaffrey, even though they've had some production in the backfield, you can't take McCaffrey out of the lineup and say, hey, we're just as good. No, you're actually not. But that's why this team is consistently winning the last handful of years. Somebody else does their gig a little bit better that day. So, yeah, that's something, guys, a time, you know, when it happens once, you say it's called the NFL. Happens twice, you say, all right, we're going to give them, this is the 49ers, or this is the Chiefs, or this is Baltimore. When it happens three times, if it happens again, and they've got a lead and can't close, then you start to say that's a trend and I got a problem. But the reason I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt on that and say, you know, I don't know if I believe much in coincidences, but the other team's getting paid too, is because of where they come from, who they are, and the roster, guys. When they're healthy and playing, the roster is really, really good. We know the quarterbacks is efficient and can make every play. We know that they're getting healthy and they can run it when they got there, when Debo and McCaffrey are there. But once again, how's Kyle going to dial up in a pressure game, in a big moment, and being able to offensively get the things going you want to get going when, in fact, you don't have your best weapon to get him in the pass game and the run game. So, yeah, man, this is something, the sense of urgency. And I want to see a fast start, but I also, to your point, want to see them score 17 points in the fourth quarter to prove to us that this is who they are, because I have a hunch that there's a chance that now they got to pick it up. But we could very well, because the NFC, the up and down, and the 49ers and the Vikings and the way the NFC North is playing, Detroit, I mean, there's good teams. We could very well see this team again, because at some point the 49ers are going to go on a roll where they win 5-6 in a row. And so you'll start to get the talk again. Will this be a rematch of another rematch? And grudge doesn't matter. That was last year. We're heavy into it. There's injuries. It's not a Super Bowl. But you still have it in your crawl that says, these guys have gotten us a couple more times than we've gotten them. It matters. So I would expect them to be able to close with the lead this time, even though they don't have their closer in McCaffrey.
Sean, emotionally, what does it do for the 49er locker room to have Ricky Pearsall making his debut?
I always guard me. It's like, okay, am I because he's back, is in, and he's able to play, you know, is it? Do you feed off the energy? Sure you are. Now, you wish that wasn't the way you had to get it, but there's always that energy when a teammate, that's your shot of Red Bull, But you guys also know, while pregame and the week going on, he's going to be jacked up. They're going to be fired up, and it's going to be awesome, and the crowd's going to go nuts. But like anything, like the old Mike Tyson, once you get punched in the face, his performance on the field is going to be more important than that energy can't carry you through four quarters, because once you get it in the mouth, now you're fighting and scratching to battle the team that you're playing against and the guy you've got to block and the guy you've got to tackle. But there's no doubt, not just the energy of a football game, but the guy's life. You never know what could have happened, and he's rehabbed it and back, and I think we're all anticipating this. It'll be a great story, but still, while the energy leading into, you're going to just have football energy regardless of this. But it's going to be a great energy and great pregame and watching them come out of the tunnel in the locker room. But I'm sure when they get to the stadium and all practice week long, there's been a different vibe on the practice field, knowing that a guy was shot, you know, a while back, and now he's going to make his debut, and it's going to be pretty exciting. But the Kansas City Chiefs don't care about that. They care about the player, I'm sure, but they don't care about the momentum you've got going into a game. They plan on thumping you and saying, now it's football, once all that, the hype and all the talk is gone after pregame.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, the emotion of it is huge. And when he came to practice this week, it became a big thing, and the team rallied around awesome. Him. But even beyond that, I think about Ricky Pearsall as a player who looks to be a good route runner and possibly a good man beater. How important would it be to have that sort of a receiver against a KC team that all but pressed you into submission last year in February?
No, I think it's awesome, and you're right. All the talk, of course, the guy's, the story is the guy overcoming this, and I think it's a phenomenal story, and I'm sure it would have been fun to see the practice and the vibe and see the reaction all week long. I can tell you this, though. He is a very precise and dynamic route runner, and how awesome would this be? Don't you guys kind of feel when you're riding that in-game momentum that wouldn't you come out of the tunnel and in your first series get him the ball just to get his hands on? I would. get him the ball, get him going. Because guys like this can make a difference. And we talked about full team energy. What about just the single guy energy, how they elevate in times when you're like, man, you know, if the bullet hits somewhere else different, who knows where I'd be right now. So it's all the emotions he'll go through, but precise route runner. And regardless of the grudge of coming back and trying to win, you don't want to get pounded into submission because you're a little bit embarrassed at times, and that doesn't go away. When you're bullied, you can get beat by a team finessing you to death. We've all been there. It's like, come on, you got a lucky knockout punch and you landed it. I want a rematch. It's when the guy comes and hits you in the mouth 10, 15, 20 times, and Kansas City's defense did that some in the Super Bowl, that's the one you want. You want the rematch. So Pearsall's energy, getting some revenge on a Super Bowl game that they want and hoping that they get a chance again at the end of the season. But the psychological thing carries over here, guys. You get your butt whipped in this one, and then you're like, well, wait a second now. Yeah. I don't like that trend. But you go beat Kansas City and you send a message before the midway point that last year doesn't matter anymore. We'll see you guys again.
Sean Salisbury with us on Withered and Dibs. Sean, before you go, would love to get your perspective on the conversation we've been having before you came on. And there's so much talk about how the Chiefs have had the 49ers number. And sure, there's Andy Reid and there's Kyle Shanahan and their matchups. But I start thinking about this today and I'm like, I see the Brock 49ers as a different entity than the Jimmy Niners. And therefore, I look at Brock's Niners as 0-1. What is your perspective on that conversation?
100% agree. 100% agree. I just think that Brock's a better playmaker all around. I do. That doesn't mean one's 10 times more. I just do. I think there's and you guys know we've had conversations about Jimmy in the past. I thought at times Jimmy got an unfair rap, and every time they lost, it was blamed on him. But Jimmy missed throws that you have to make in big games. Now, I'm not talking about the tight window throw. I'm talking about the guy that's wide open. The easy ones you can't miss. They're the best players in the world. They'll make the big plays or the tight window plays. But Breeze and Manning and Mahomes, the great ones, make the simple play all the time. The ball didn't hit the ground. And I think that's where an advantage. And I just think there's a little bit when you've been the seventh-round pick, you've been a guy who wasn't supposed to be playing NFL football or just grinding to be a practice squad guy, and now you're the guy, and he's proven it over now 2+ years. Yeah, this isn't this different. And if we're going to put all the emphasis on that position, which we do at quarterback, then how can we talk about, well, all they got their number? They got their number once. Okay, so you're exactly right. And now fully get him healthy and get him going, at least as close to health as you can get, not having McCaffrey in that gig there. But I think Brock Purdy, in truth, there's just a different mentality about his game. I just think he's a better quarterback than Jimmy. Doesn't matter what we got to do. I just do, and I think he thrives on these moments. I expect him to have a big game tomorrow and at least handle the duress that he's going to face, or Sunday, that he's going to face.
Sean, you're the best, man. Thank you so much for making some time for us.
Guys, you're always great with the question. It's always awesome to come on with you. I look forward to it again. Thank you.
There it is. Sean Salisbury on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Always good. Yep. And I like him having an appearance because he's astute, but he's not afraid to give an opinion as well. And a lot of people in his spot will hem and haw and defer to this or defer to that. He gives opinion. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
And he defended you, and I like it, even though he defended you 100% about the idea that it's just one game. It's not four in a row against KC. It's one in a row against Brock Purdy.
He likes the Niners this weekend.
He does, by a field goal, which is...
Well, he sort of pitched that as like if he were building the spread.
Yeah.
He says Niners by three.
Oh, yeah.
Which if you're a gambler and you know the way like the pros do it...
Yep.
You know, the best in the world hit about 57% of the time.
That's yeah.
Because all they're betting. Well, and they're betting. We do.
Thought I'd slide that by you. I'm no longer hot. And I'll give you my pick on this game, and it may have just changed.
Can't wait, except before you're allowed to give another pick, you need to sit in the muck and the mud of an absolutely, I was about to say disgusting, but phenomenal. Outstanding.
You're welcome.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Fade the Dibbers effort last night.
It's what I do for you and Grandy and all the listeners, because if I really am this bad at it and you all think that I am, well, then yesterday was one of those ones where you like, thank you, next, Ariana Grande.
Brother, my whole goal.
Yes, Grandy, clap into the mic. Thank you.
My whole goal is to get you to stop feeling these picks the way you do. I want, when you miss one and when you miss one bad, like you did last night, I want you to
feel like Klay Thompson last night.
I want you
to
come
in. Too
soon. No. Clank. Anyway.
That was my guru.
It's pretty good. I want you to come in the next day with chest out. The segment is not called, let's see if our favorite guy, Dan Dibley, can get one right.
Dude, I used to do wagertainment.
It's
I was a professional gambler on the radio.
Fade the Dibbers. When you absolutely gack one like you did last night.
That's on Rattler. That's not on the Dibber.
Which is pretty, pretty consistent.
Dude, that thing got away from me.
I want you to walk in here and be like, you're welcome.
If I start to do that, then I'm going to start intentionally trying to pick losers, which would mean that I win.
Don't do that.
No, and that's why I can't come in here with my chest puffed out, because I make these picks based on what I really, really think.
I want you to be one person on the way in and a different person on the way out. It's like a trip to Vegas.
But if I'm a different person on the way out, then that's going to affect the way I pick on the way out. I need to stay in my process.
You got
to
compartmentalize. Get over it fast. Turn the page.
No, I'm over it.
Okay, then you're good.
I will not let it change what I do, because if you really want to fade me, if you really want to think that I'm 45%.
I want to fade you.
Am I 11-14 now on the year?
Yeah, what's the record, Grandy?
If you fade every one of your picks, you'd be 11-9-1. In your last 10, fading Dibs is 7-3 in the last 10.
Yeah, that's money. That's money. And if you won't peacock, I will, because this is our show and we're making people money.
I'm not going to peacock because I'm 3-7.
Then I will. We're 7-3.
You guys are.
Rest of us, of humanity. Major bag alert. I'm sending bicep emojis out to everybody I know. We are making our listeners money.
Cash me out one time.
No, cash me out 7 times.
Of 10.
Fade the Dibbers.
Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I've got a lock for you on Sunday, Niners Chiefs. And although hearing Salisbury, Sean Salisbury, he's got me a little bit wobbly.
You just follow your gut. We don't need you following anybody else's gut.
Well, then let me just say this.
We want to know what's in there.
Let me say this.
What do you want to say?
The pick is in.
I know it is.
The pick is in. And it's yes.
Ba-da-dum.
Back and forth, but this morning I went on with KC Radio,
whoop,
and I gave them the pick.
Oh.
And they said, the pick is in?
They said, the heck you say?
Well, we actually talked about Fade the Dibber, too.
Oh, so they know.
It was a pretty fun hit. Well, I had to let them know that your boy's been cold since about second term Clinton.
Okay, so if you picked the Chiefs, then they were like, oh, crap.
I'll just tell you that the pick is in.
Okay.
And if you listen to the Dibber across multiple markets, then you know, because the pick is in. And they were either happy about it or unhappy about it.
Markets.
Yeah. Multiple time zones, too.
All right. Hey, Joe and Will, and come on. Here we go. 888-957-9570. The Niners are going to win because, or the Niners are going to lose because. You can fill it in. Get in on the Brock's Niners versus Jimmy Niners conversation. Emmanuel Acho was on with Steiny and Goo. You want to talk about people who have opinions? We got to play some of this audio for you. We will. Kyle Shanahan's press conference, not far away either. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises, and brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. 888-957-9570. Your call's next on Willard and Dibbs.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibbs, your picks stink.
Yes!
Hold
yes,
on a minute.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Hold on.
Yes!
I mean...
Yes!
No.
Yes!
No!
God, no! I love that man.
It's one thing for Moses Moody, who... I mean, Moses and I, we may have spoken once, maybe twice. It's one thing for Moses to do that. He's reading script. But for Steve Kerr?
Yeah, and there's two differences. One is Moses Moody, the other Steve Kerr. But for those of you who didn't, and Granny, maybe you could play Moses Moody because Moses is like...
Come on.
Bay Area, it's Moses Moody.
You're
listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibbs, your picks stink.
Right, like it's playful. But Kerr... He is very much coming from that place of, Steve, I've got your back. No, you don't. No, you don't. No,
no you don't. No, you don't.
Listen to the jackal over here. Steve loves me.
The vitriol in Steve's voice when he got the opportunity to take a shot at you. Listen to the energy behind this.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Yeah.
Hey, Dibs.
Dude, there's an edge in there.
Your picks stink.
When's the first time we have Kerr on?
Should be next week, right?
Yeah, I guess next week.
They play games that count next
week.
Hey,
Lucas, Wednesday. Do we have a... never mind. Sorry, that got awkward. Yeah, let Kerr know I got questions, and they don't have anything to do with his beloved rotation.
Should I spoil the bit here or no?
I feel like we're getting our relationship and our season off to a bad start. But go ahead. Yes, spoil it.
So at Media Day, we hand our people hand every one of these guys, players, coaches, a script that we want them to read.
Right.
And for the people that read Dibs, your picks stink, they also read Dibs, I like your picks. So I have both of these from Steve Kerr. I have both of them from Moses Moody. I have both of them from everyone.
Well, then let me ask you this. Why do you default to the your pick stink
because
side of it?
Because your pick stink.
We were just talking about this right now. 7 of 10.
You picked the Saints last night, and they lost by 1,000 points.
Also, I like you getting like under your pick. Skin, Dibs.
Yes, because I know to go against it and make money. You picked
a
team. Of course I did. The Saints had no players last night, and you picked them.
They had Kamara, or Kamara, however you prefer to pronounce it.
And he got 18 catches for 12 yards because he can't move the ball.
They had Renter Splatler, which is his new name, because he splatted the ball all over the field.
You want Mark Grandy to sully his own name by coming in here the day after you said, everybody take the Saints plus the 2, and they lose by 1,000.
2.5, I think.
And you want Mark to come in here the next day and have Steve Kerr be like, Dibs, you got great picks over there. Look at you with your picks.
If Steve Kerr...
That wouldn't make any sense!
If Steve Kerr recorded both versions of the script, then what are we even doing here?
Well, I heard that he only recorded the complimentary one after much persuasion.
Arm twisting.
He had no interest.
Do you
in
want
dirt.
To hear how the tone compares?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it. Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry.
Jeez.
What happened here? Up.
2 and 1.
Why is this not?
And, oh, boy. Magically, it doesn't exist.
Here we go.
Bay Area, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You know what, Dibs? I like your picks.
Doesn't sound very genuine. When you play the other one first, you know what, Dibs?
Like, you know what? Whatever.
If I read this, can I go home, Raymond Ritter? Yeah. You know what, Dibs?
That was the
I like your picks. I know you've lost 7 of 10.
I've ever heard in my entire life.
You know what, Dibs? You've lost 7 of 10, but darn it, I like your picks. Thanks, Steve.
It's almost like he's like, you're listening to Willard and Dibs. You know what, Dibs? They want me to be nice on this one, so I guess I will. Whatever. That's what that sounded like.
I wonder if there are other rejoins that we will play about other things, because I gave a number of different ideas to the director of sports, and yes, one of them was about my picks, but the other ones were about other things. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they also recorded those. We'll find out. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that Jonathan Kuminga would like you to talk less.
That's one of the ones that I suggested.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Hi, this is Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs, but really, you're listening to Willard.
Dab Nation, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Time out. Time out.
What?
Time out. This feels a little bit one-sided to me. Kuminga! Come on, JK!
Oh my gosh, what a great moment for you. You now know what it's like to get dunked on by Jonathan Kuminga.
Dude, seriously.
Wow.
Hey, Dibs, tell me how my dunk tastes. Because you just got dunked on. That's pretty good. Hi. This is Quentin Dial. Hi, this is Quentin Post.
Quentin Dial.
Former Niner. Hi, this is Quentin Post. I couldn't find your studio.
Who are you?
But Dibs, your pick stink.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Hi, this is Quentin Post. Hey, Dibs, your directions stink.
Totally, right?
Sometimes they're just for us. Anyway.
Hi, you're listening to Lindy Waters. You're listening to William and Dibs. Where are you guys?
Where are you? Anyway.
Thank you.
888-957-957. Don't spoil them all, because I like it when like we get to hear a new one.
Don't worry. There's plenty of them.
That JK has set me back. I don't even know if I can continue the show.
Play JK one more time. That was absolutely fabulous.
Dab Nation, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Your pick stinks. Not your picks stink, but your picks stink. Your pick stinks. It actually works in the singular.
Every time, yes.
It's great.
It works better that way. You use it every Thursday and Monday night.
And you should play that at 4:49 when I give out my Chiefs Niners pick, because it's probably going to be wrong, but the pick is in. So, yeah, maybe Kuminga can weigh in then about my pick. That's pretty good.
That's the end of the show for me. I'm done.
It's not 5 yet.
Too bad.
You don't fall apart till 5 traditionally.
Too bad. Why don't you speak for once?
I'd rather not.
I need a moment.
I'm too busy watching the Oakland Hills burn. So, and for all of you out there,
I'm watching the Dodgers Game 5 hopes burn. How about that?
Is that on right now?
They're getting their you-know-what's kicked.
Okay.
They're getting their picks stink. Their pitchers stink, too.
Good.
Yeah. So, don't bury the Mets yet. Let's go to Joe in San Jose. Hi, Joe. What are you doing?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Let me ask you guys an honest question.
Please.
I give an edge to Andy Reid over Kyle Shanahan, and the reason why is because Kyle Shanahan has went to a championship, but he just never won the big one. What do you guys think about that? Does that play a factor, or it just come down to execution?
I mean, like I sort of look at it this way, Joe. Obviously, it has to come into play. A person's resume is their resume. But let me just give you a little something on how I personally, this is just me, Joe, thank you, how I look at it. They're both tremendous play callers. So to think that one of them doesn't know what's going on compared to the other one, I think is erroneous, number one. Number two, they're technically not play calling against one another. Kyle Shanahan is kind of matched up with Steve Spagnuolo, and Andy Reid is matched up with Nick Sorensen. Now, there's overlap there and blend because they're both the head coach, and that matters too. But to think that somehow either one of these guys has a significant edge on the other one in terms of calling plays, I just don't see it. You're talking about, especially if you want to like spotlight the two Super Bowls, you're talking about razor-thin football games that came down to a couple plays at the end, and Andy Reid got over. Now, if you wanted me to give a little bit of a different take on it, I'd add this in too. What do all of you think would happen if the quarterbacks switched jerseys? And I want you to just stir that around in your afternoon cocktail and take a sip. Because Andy Reid used to coach the Eagles and had the same rep that Kyle does now. Really good. Can't quite get over the top. And then he got Patrick Mahomes. Meantime, Shanahan's over here, literally going to the Super Bowl with a quarterback that a lot of you thought stinks. Hey, Dibs, your quarterback stinks. And in fact, now can barely even hold a job in the NFL. So I don't know. What's more impressive, winning the Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes or taking Jimmy Garoppolo to a Super Bowl? What's a better accomplishment?
Of winning it with Patrick Mahomes?
I guess. Yep. It feels easier to me, to be honest with you.
Well, it's only easier because he made Patrick Mahomes what he is.
Oh,
if Mahomes was a Carolina Panther...
You don't believe that.
Would Mahomes have any rings if he was a Panther?
I don't know. I don't know what would be around him.
So if you
want to
play the game of...
His game travels.
Mahomes here or Brock there, it travels because he has Andy and he has a lot of other things around him.
You think Andy made Patrick?
No, but what I'm saying is this whole conversation of what if Brock were there or Patrick were there and all the rest of it. It's nonsense.
I don't get into that.
You just threw that out there.
No, so. I didn't. You weren't listening. That's not the context.
Is,
but that's not the context of what
Niners
I said.
If the Niners had Patrick, then they would have won the Super Bowl.
No.
I get that.
I didn't say that.
No, but that's my answer.
But I asked you to simply, because of what the caller said, consider the factor that the two coaches are not necessarily playing through these 5 years with the same deck of cards. So you can say Andy greater than Kyle, and I can't disagree with you. He's got 3 Super Bowl rings, but they're not coming from the same place. And there are so many coaches that if they had Patrick Mahomes, they would be champions. That's what I believe.
Well,
there are
I also think that there are so many coaches, if they had Patrick Mahomes, they wouldn't be a playoff team. Because
really?
Yeah, it comes down to more than the quarterback. It is the coach, it's the O-line, it's the scheme, it's the skill guys. It's a lot more than just the quarterback.
Ask Belichick.
Patrick Mahomes is great.
And I mean,
yeah, ask
Belichick.
Ask him.
What did he ever do without Tom? Ever in his career?
What was his roster like without Tom when Tom left?
Well, sure,
it was not nearly the same.
There's always circumstances.
You could play this game all you want about this quarterback there, and it comes down to more than just the quarterback. And Mahomes and Andy, it's a great combination and a great defense. And this year and last year, I think, speaks to that very thing, because last year you even said it on the show in November, you were not sold on Kansas City, and they weren't very good. And then the way they went about winning all the games after November 10th or whatever was through defense and ball control and offensive efficiency and all the rest of it.
I'm still shocked they won in Baltimore.
Yeah.
To this day, I don't understand how they won in Baltimore.
They weren't as good as Baltimore, but it doesn't matter. They won in Baltimore.
Yep.
So we can talk about, you know, Patrick Mahomes in, we could name 31 other cities, and would he still be good? Of course he'd be good. Would he have 3 rings if he was in Denver or Detroit?
I don't know. I tend to believe Houston or Carolina
or whatever.
You're not wrong about the marriage. This is the Kyle Brock marriage is a good one. The Andy Pat one is a great one. It's a great marriage, but we've done this game before when we talk about who made who. We did this with Tom and Bill, and the answer could not have been clearer. Like, in other words, Andy Reid has always been a good coach. Donovan McNabb, they went places. Alex Smith, they went places. But if you're asking me who gets the bigger piece of the pie in terms of who's driving who, like, Andy Reid did not make Patrick. It's the other way around. Andy's a phenomenal coach, but the Hall of Fame part of it, the three rings, that to me is much more about Patrick than it is about Andy.
I just don't look at it that way. And I don't look at, like, piece of the pie. And if you want to do that for the Niners right now, Kyle and Brock, like, where would you allocate that pie? Is it Kyle more than Brock? And the reason why we're so definitive now about Bill and Tom is because Tom went out and won one without Bill, and Bill did nothing, and then Bill retired. So that becomes something that is not only unfair, but I think it's inaccurate, because Tom went to a spot where they were a good team and they needed just a quarterback.
They weren't really supposed to be.
And they got a quarterback,
they weren't supposed
to be that good. And they went out and they won because they had talented pieces around Tom, and Tom was still good, and they went out and they won. So because of that, now we look at Bill and we go, well, Bill, pat you on the head. You were all Tom,
no,
or you were nothing.
He's a great coach. Like, I don't think
I just don't buy this.
Well, I do. I mean, I look at it from this perspective. First, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live in the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.